Hello everybody, it's your old friend and Monday Madness, and welcome to a brand new podcast from ourselves here. This is a Pokemon themed podcast that we have a working title of Jelly Filled Donut, because nothing really beats a jelly filled donut.
Absolutely.
Especially when it's actually a rice cake. It's your friends Jonathan James and Bergbot joining you for this one, and we're decided that because we're all middle-aged adults at this stage, I think this is the right time to go back and watch all the old Pokemon TV shows.
We have nothing better to do in our lives.
No, we do not. Absolutely not. Well, I am on a personal quest myself to prove that Ash Ketchum is a shit trainer for wankers.
I mean, is anyone actually questioning that?
Well, I feel like some people have slept on it, you know? Like, I feel people have not, like, given it the analysis that it deserves. You know what I mean? Like, I think we need to look back and go, here's all the mistakes he made, and this is why his Butterfree ran away. Because he did run away, alright?
Yeah, he flew away.
Yeah, he flew away, never to be seen again. So, I suppose we better start off by explaining, like, how acquainted we are with Pokemon ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, James, how would you kind of, like, feel your expertise is on the...
Played through all the game. No, I definitely watched the show whenever I was a kid. Mm. At about the whenever it stopped being a thing whenever we were kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dropped off the edge of the world at that stage. In college, went back to it for the nostalgia. And I haven't really watched a TV show. Mm. I've caught the odd episode every now and again. But mainly through the games for myself.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm kind of the same as you. I would have like... there was a kind of time where there was like a time slot where like before you go to school it would be on and then you'd like see whatever episode it is, but for whatever reason I think it was RTE2 always used to get the sequences wrong, so you'd like miss it, like you might like skip a few episodes and you know it has because it's completely lost the plot.
And then you go like you got it over taken over by like Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff like that.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh was a great big offender for that
cartoon. Mm. After that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I'd be the same as you. Like, I'd be far more into the games than I would have been the TV show. Like, I think I remember watching as far as maybe the Johto series and then stopping. Because I think, oh, this is just the same show then, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, he's got kicked in the head by a horse, clearly.
Yeah. That's what happened. That's when he starts off his new adventure every single time as a newborn baby.
Kicked by a ponytail.
Yeah, exactly. And somehow he trains that way as well, which is mad. Bergbot, though, on the other hand, you are kind of on the opposite side of us on the scale here, aren't you?
Well, at the time, I had a Game Boy Color and I had Pokemon Yellow, and that was the only game I'd ever played and didn't ever complete it. but I only ever recognised the first 150 Pokemon. Like, none of this Mewtwo shit either. Mew and Mewtwo. No, 150, that's it.
You'd like the Brexiteer of Pokemon trainers.
I kind of grew up. I was mature and I got into much more mature things.
And then
like
we dragged you down.
Like Yu-Gi-Oh! Like Yu-Gi-Oh! And football. And
winning combination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it was just, of late, I got back into playing the games. And
I wonder who brought you back into that. It's a real mystery, that.
Dirtle. But yeah, no, the nostalgia of watching back on the old episodes just made me really contemplate how smart I actually was as a child and why did I find this entertaining?
Yeah, it's kind of made me cringe a little bit, just like, you know, the kind of stuff, the small stuff like the voice acting or like there's an animation missing?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that person doesn't have a face. Oh, God, no.
They didn't need a face.
They really did. Like, he was kind of in the foreground, James. Any case, so yes, we are going to be doing this kind of like, I suppose, like a weekly review of the Pokemon TV show, starting right at the beginning, the Indigo League series, as I believe it's called.
Yeah.
I think that most of them are on Netflix, if not at least the first set. And we're going to go through them. So, by all means, if you want to like watch along with us, you can watch this show and then listen to our like takes on it, if you like. Because we're just going to give a rundown of it. And then we have a few little segments then here and there that we'll introduce as we get to them. So, with that being said, lads, it's time to start off with our first episode.
All right.
I choose you. So, we start off with our opening credits. The opening scene quite cutely copies the Pokemon battle from the Red and Blue game, which I quite liked.
Yeah.
What I couldn't understand, though, is that the battle is between Gengar and Nidorino.
Yeah.
And if you know your types, there is a serious disadvantage there for Mr. Nidorino. Like, it's just not going to go well.
In fairness, it does get hit by a hypnosis, and then, you know, the trainer brings out fucking Onyx.
Yes. Yeah. This is the thing, though. The trainer is actually Bruno.
Yep.
One of the four guys. Yeah.
Did he ever say who he was battling in that? Was that against Agatha, or...?
I don't think there was anything. I think I presume Agatha anyway, because she'd be the ghost-type expert. But yeah. I just found it weird to use Nidorino, of all things. I think it was strictly because it was the callback to the game. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
And then realised... I think even the writers realised, oh, wait, this guy is the... Yeah, he's the rock guy. Okay, Onyx. It's like, no, not that rock guy. He's the other rock guy. Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah,
because that's why there's only a silhouette of him, because he doesn't need to be Brock yet.
Yeah,
he's
pretty or Bruno
or Bruno, whatever. It begins with a B. It's all the same.
Yeah.
So yeah, we kind of see this, like, as it were, this real life battle between the two, and as Bertbot said, you have Gengar hypnotizing Nidorino. The trainer retreats, gives it Onyx instead, and then we realize, oh, we were actually not in the stadium at all. We were just this 10-year-old kid, really hyped up, watching this on the TV. This was prime time. Television in this world.
Fast forward 25 years ish, and the game Sword starts off with you watching a YouTube clip of a battle.
Isn't that bad, isn't it? It was kind of cute. Like, I like that. I like the at least in Sword and Shield, I didn't actually pick up on that until I watched the pilot. I went, oh yeah, it is the same idea.
Yeah.
Except because we're controlling the character in Sword and Shield, we actually know what the hell we're doing. Ash, on the other hand, does not.
Yep.
So anyway, Ash is hyped up, so he thinks this is the right time to get geared up, so he puts gloves on.
It's 11 o'clock at night.
It's 11 o'clock at night, so that is therefore the right time to put on his shoes, put on his clothes, put on his hat, get his trainer pose ready, and then his mother ruins the whole thing.
Have you ever been hyped up to go play football or something like that? You might get killed out the night before just to be like, yes, I am absolutely ready.
Not at 11 p.m.
I cannot
forget
anything, at all, if I'm fully dressed going to bed.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that's the logic.
Because you have to break your boots in somehow.
Well, you know, he obviously knows he's going to be late, because he obviously has a habit of this, which is why the man's trying to get him to go to bed. So
yes.
He's just going to bed fully dressed, so that when he does inevitably be late, he's fully dressed, but the mother comes in and ruins his whole plan.
Yeah. Or is it the other way around, where because he's up so late, like, she knows already, this is going to end in tears, I have to get this little freak into bed before he kicks off again.
No, she didn't think to wake him up the next morning.
We probably tried.
Maybe she's gone to work. She's a single mother.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Yeah, single. Well, there are a lot of theories on that, Bert Bob, which we'll get into. Oh,
God.
Yeah, this is the internet.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
This is the internet. Sure. Yeah. Ash's dad is absolutely Mr. Mime.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Or Professor Oak.
Or Giovanni.
Yeah. Professor Oak is apparently the favourite to be Ash's deadbeat dad, which kind of explains why he takes pity on this street urchin that just come in on the street. In any case, so he gets shouted at to go to bed, because it is indeed 11 o'clock.
Yep.
So all the kind of Pokemon merch we see all around the place.
Hint, kids, buy this stuff.
Yeah, buy all the stuff that doesn't really exist. There was like a Pidgeotto.
Did at the time.
It probably did, actually, yeah. I don't remember having a Pidgeotto clock myself, in fairness, but I totally do want one now.
Oh, yeah.
I mention it, yeah. Because that would really irritate everyone in the house. So anyway, before he goes to bed, though, our mom, or Delia, as her correct name is, she changes the channel to something far more boring.
Educational.
Educational things, as Professor Oak is explaining the three starters, which we know as Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle. So I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Which one did
Squirtle.
You... Really? Squirtle? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Would have been Charmander.
I'm Charmander as well. That's not to say Bulbasaur is class either, but I just like a challenge. And like it's Charmander, like I can't say no to it.
Fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why would you go for a turtle over?
Because he's cooler and he's got sunglasses.
You're not counting in the sunglasses part, like. That is an important factor in all this. So we see the three starters, our title screen comes up.
Yep.
And then we get on with the rest of the episode. So Ash is sleep talking about which start he's going to go for. So he first tries to picture Bulbasaur. And I find this funny because he knows what Bulbasaur looks like, but not what it sounds like. So you'll see Bulbasaur come up and it's walking. You just hear,
bleh. Oh, yeah.
And then he goes,
they were going for like the original game sounds. Never.
I was hoping that was it. Like,
yeah.
But they just didn't get the licensing right or something.
It was audio ID'd. So they had to go for free sound effects. So then he goes, okay, so he's obviously his first choice was going to be Bulbasaur. Then he goes for Squirtle. Same thing happens. So then. The Dodrio in town cries because, you know, at least some Pokemon actually have a function in the real world, as it were. And then the final one he thinks of is Charmander. And it looks like he's going to go for this one. Charmander is his pick because he tries to catch it in his sleep and he smashes the alarm clock all across the floor.
Who hasn't done something like that?
Not me, in fairness. I haven't had those type of dreams in a long time. But then, obviously, the destruction of an alarm clock wakes him up out of his coma. And he realises he's overslept, which is a nice, a cute little, like, it's a reference then in Gold and Silver, the start of that game, because Professor Oak oversleeps in that.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, like, it seems to run in the family, is what I'm getting with there. Shit. Yes. So he dashes to Professor Oak's lab in his pyjamas, because he's had no time.
Yep.
You know,
because the man made him get out of his outfit, which he was fully ready for. Like, this is all the man's fault, I'm still playing on this.
Yeah.
Oh. She made him get undressed and get into his pyjamas, even though he was fully ready.
What would be better off, though? I know he got there in his pyjamas, but if he was sleeping in his clothes the night before and coming in scruffy as balls...
I mean, he was already coming in scruffy as hell anyway.
That's true, too, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that it's, like, I think both candidates would have been bad. Like, that's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
So, in any case, we get to Professor Oak's lab, but a crowd has already formed, which means we might have... Maybe a clue we may have been... We have missed the... rush hour, as it were.
Yep.
But there's a whole lot of cheerleaders here, and they're chanting for someone called Gary, which
is the actual hero of the show.
The guy who knows what he's doing.
Yep.
So anyway,
I would like to think that the show is actually, here's the small town hero going off in the adventure.
Yes.
And the little stupid boy who got kicked in the head as a child limping behind him.
The special one we have to bring along, like. It's like, oh, Gary, you're so cool. Oh, hi, Ash. You still want to be a Bulbasaur? Yeah, good boy. So anyway, he has to push through this crowd of girls who they will never be attracted to him. Until he's shoved by Gary Oak himself, because this is his show, this is his house.
Oh my god, is Gary then his older brother?
Would be. Or a stepbrother.
No, nephew. If Oak's Ash's dad, but Gary's granddad.
Oh yeah, would be too, yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting, yeah. I like to think we've got to keep like driving that narrative whenever they two of them interact, just to see what happens. Because I don't remember half the series, so something really awkward could be on the way, and people are shouting at me right now. So anyway, Gary boasts to Ash that he's got his Pokemon.
Yep.
We come back to cheerleaders. And before Ash could even get like through his spiel of going, like, I'm going to be a Pokemon trainer, it's like, Gary's, yeah, whatever, mate. I'm off in this like convertible, and I'm never going to see you again, until maybe 10 episodes later.
I mean, yeah, like I said.
This Why is does it. A 10-year-old have a convertible?
Because he's born into wealth.
He's a hero.
Yeah. He's born into wealth. Like, he is the grandson of Professor Oak. He is a local celebrity.
Yep.
Like, in the modern world, he'd be like, he'd already have like the
he'd be like an influencer.
Yeah, I was about to say, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, he's got his fans. Yep. He's got his like his gang. You know, his
squad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a squad. Yeah, definitely. And they're all gonna be like the same. Like,
they're all squirrels.
They're all. I was going to say they're all cheerleaders, but yeah, close enough, whatever. In any case, that's obviously upset Ash quite a bit.
Yep.
So he's annoyed, angry, and then Oak just goes, huh, you're in our pyjamas. I'm going to take pity on you. Come on in.
No, I still say this is one of the most cruel things he's done. He brings Ash in and lets him pick through each of them
this
one by one.
This was so funny. Because he was so
like,
aloof doing
fuck
it.
You didn't get that.
Yeah.
He was like, no. A child who was on time got that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone who woke up on time got this one. And it's like, one by one, it's like
if you didn't have enough for everyone there, someone was going to show up and get left empty-handed. Or Gary got two.
But it wasn't even that, though. It was the fact, like, because there was only three, are we to assume there was only, like, there was four kids in the town.
So why did he only provide three Pokemon?
It was first come, first serve, clearly. Like, he's the shittest Willy Wonka that's ever existed. That's clearly what's going on here.
It's like, literally like, whoever comes last gets the dud.
Yeah. Oh yeah, gets the problem child, which we'll get to momentarily.
Oh,
so I mean, that should have been she should have gone to Gary.
Or maybe, yeah.
If Gary was the last one to leave.
Well, actually, I don't know. I can't remember which starter he does get, in fact. Because I remember does he get Squirtle?
He got Squirtle.
Squirtle, okay, interesting.
Is he smart?
Yep.
Well, I guess maybe, based off the playthrough of the game, he decided to go for a normal difficulty.
Yep.
Because Bulbasaur was by far the easier.
Absolutely.
So, as we were mentioning, he gets offered three Pokeballs. He picks Squirtle first, nothing.
Charmander second.
Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur second.
Yeah. And then lastly, Charmander, yeah. Completely empty. Again, Professor Oak is having great crack with this. Looking at this.
Oh, so many puns.
This poor working class peasant, this chimney sweep of a child, getting just ripped around everywhere.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Well, actually, I do have one more I caught. Although you might not like it, so get
the ball." He was also kicked in the head.
Yeah. No, I think what happened was, remember like Pokemon Yellow, where you actually do go out in the grass, you get get attacked by a Pikachu, Oak catches on your behalf and go, "Here, take this and get out of here.
Yep.
I don't want to see you ever again." So any case, this ball pops up out of the secret mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little lightning ball.
It's actually the secret option number four.
Yes, it was the secret ending. So Oak says, "Yeah, no, I didn't want to give this to any 10-year-old children because it has several problems. I wanted someone experienced." It's like, "I'll take it." It's like, "Oh no, here we go." So opens the ball. Out comes this big, chubby, yellow electric mouse with a little lightning bolt tail that we learn is called Pikachu. You'll be hearing a lot more about Pikachu as time goes on.
Pika.
So Ash hugs his Pikachu, which turns out to be very much the wrong answer, as he gets electrocuted for his trouble, and that is one of many mistakes he'll make this time. Again, Oak, from the greatness of his heart, decides, "Oh, I found this spare Pokedex and Pokeballs. Take this and get out of my sight."
And again, he had enough Pokedexes to go around, not enough Pokemon.
This is what happens sometimes when you order in batch. Like, sometimes with places you can't like make one, you have to make 10. And if you can't clear the 10, then you're actually just losing out. Like, you're losing money then. So I can kind of see where he's coming from with that. But nevertheless, he gives Ash all his gear, gets electrocuted again as a mayor of thanks from Pikachu.
For a scientist not to realise that, yes, even as he hands the stuff over to Ash, he's still going to get electrocuted because he's now completing the circuit himself.
Yeah.
That's not good science.
Isn't it? I don't think, maybe he's not a real professor, like. You know, like how you hear like there's a doctor, but it's actually a doctor of history. It's just like, you're not a real doctor. What are you going to cure me with? Medieval
or like
science.
Dr. Krieger in Archer.
Exactly,
First name is Doctor.
I'm a doctor. I practice medicine mostly on cats. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
he's a professor of photography, which is where he got his degree from Pokemon Snap.
Yes, exactly. To be fair, it's not the worst degree to have, because based on how we play Pokemon Snap, we fucking ace that.
Oh,
shit.
Absolutely.
We got some good stuff on that. We have it on our channel, by the way, if you want to see us playing Pokemon Snap.
Plug.
I think there's some plugs in here. I keep forgetting to do it at the end of every episode we do. So
you just work it in seamlessly.
It is actually better to work it, or actually just like interject. Like I've heard a lot of podcasts where you just put the ads in and it's like, "Well, that was very funny, James. You know, you should really subscribe to DDP Yoga. That's very..." Anyway, so Ash comes out then for our next scene, and a small makeshift group has met him outside with pots and pans and like spinny things and just improvising anything he can get from Delia's kitchen. And his emotional mother leads him front and centre with his bag. And
right,
then decides
to rally the troops for this, but she wasn't able to wake him up that morning.
Well, that's
maybe
why
she was
busy.
She was out.
Yeah,
she was out rallying the troops.
So maybe the whole family's bad at time management. Like, she was late trying to get everyone organized, and then by the time that she got to the professor's house, the child had already run away basically to get there. Got electrocuted twice, which is terribly bad parenting at this stage. She's just like,
yeah, well, maybe she's looking at the other parent kind of going, "You're meant to be looking after him at this stage."
Really, because it's like about 10 years worth of child benefit you haven't paid, Sam. Anyway, so he decides, so he gives him his bag and decides to unpack it in front of him. So he's got his clothes.
And in front of the whole town.
Yeah, hot chocolate, rubber gloves, now we know what underwear he's wearing, so that's all good.
Yeah.
A clothesline, which is very important, adds into the plot later on. So Ash decides to interrupt before like any more stuff gets unbagged, which I think is probably at mercy at this stage, because she was going to like completely show everybody what's in that bag and how easy it is going to steal from this 10-year-old child. It's a good thing there's no criminals in the Pokemon
universe.
He's 10
years old, he's fit to go out in the world on his own.
Absolutely, yeah. So anyway, our mother notices that Pikachu is not in a Pokeball.
That's strange.
That is very strange, isn't it? So Ash tries to catch Pikachu, and it's just this amusing little like back and forth. He tries to essentially not even try to throw the ball, just drops the ball on Pikachu and swats it away with the tail. And I was wondering, like, how long is this going to go on for? Because I could happily take 10 minutes of this, just watching just this tail go. No.
I think it's like footy techers.
Yeah.
You know, keep you up these skills.
Yeah. You can say, that's one thing you can say about Pikachu, is a fantastic first touch. So anyway, keeps swatting the ball away, thinks that we're playing catch, says it. Delia says the Pikachu is a little weird. Mm-hmm. Pikachu doesn't take too kind of that, and electrocutes everybody. And then we always get one tenant, which we can all agree on: don't forget to change your underwear every single day, no matter what happens.
Every single day.
Yeah. Which I guarantee.
Like, if you're getting electrocuted, there's got to be some leakage there. Like, so it's good. It's good practice.
It is good practice, yeah. Like, she's been there before with an old Pikachu, like, just as she keeps under the floorboards, like Hugo out of The Simpsons.
If you'd never seen Pokemon, if you had no introduction to the games or anything, like, you would just look at this, like, this child is totally inept.
Yeah.
And this Pokemon is a dickhead.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's a dickhead in this show.
Professor Oak was being a dickhead. And I'd be just, like... You know, if this was me watching for the first time as a child, I'd be like, everyone here sucks. I don't like anybody here.
I love as well the fact that, like, that Delia Ketchum was, like, so clingy, but also the fact that, I'm so glad he's out of the house now.
Yeah.
Hey, Professor Oak.
Hey, Mr. Mime, get over here. I've got some cleaning to do.
Wow.
So, Ash embarks on his journey officially, and he starts it off in right Roman form with what we would presume to be Route 1. Because if we're following the game map, embarking on his journey wearing a pair of his rubber gloves and pulling Pikachu along with the clothesline, which is just a wonderful visual.
Animal cruelty, or
it's just
taking your electric mouse out for a walk. That's all. It's easy. It wasn't around his neck or anything.
Yeah, I just feel like you got to know you're not a good trainer if you have to resort to dragging your Pokemon around with you.
It's usually a bad sign.
I said, he was kicked in the head.
This is him trying to be like gentle to animals, you know.
Yeah.
So Ash does actually try to talk to the Pikachu. Pikachu is not responding at all. What I love as well, like, they did this in Pokemon Yellow, where you have your Pikachu following around and you can just turn around and talk to it. And at the start, it just goes like, "I don't like you."
Yeah.
And then by the end, it's just like just trying to hug you all the time with love hearts everywhere. It's just, you can see the progression. Oh, yeah. It's nice. So Pikachu opens his mouth on request by Ash. And Ash realises that Pikachu can only say its name because that's how Pokemon work.
No,
have you ever figured this out before?
Right. This is like you being given a dog.
Yes.
And then at 10 years old you're like,
dog, getting upset.
Why can't you speak back? Why do you only say woof?
This is the thing, right? Like, surely he's been watching Pokemon on TV to know that it didn't like a post-match interview with a Rhyhorn, you know. So Rhyhorn, you got hit there by a Hydro Pump. How do you feel about that? Well, I thought we had a very good performance.
A lot of problems with
our
coach.
I have a lot of problem with my speed.
Well, no, you see, he wasn't watching the educational stuff, so this is probably what the
Probably what that
premiership match was watching at the beginning. They probably had voiceovers.
Oh, that could be it. Like, people paraphrasing for the Pokemon. Yes. Yeah. Translating. Yeah. Interesting.
Ash being thick as a brick, that was the Pokemon actually talking.
Exactly. And speaking of Ash being thick as a brick, the Pokedex pops up to explain how Pokeballs work.
I did not recall it being so sarcastic.
Oh, yeah.
Only for the first episode.
It is for stupid trainers. It was something like...
Yeah.
Only stupid and trainers.
Gullible trainers.
It is like Sassmaster General in this episode. Like, because, like I said, we keep going on.
Like Portal. What's the robot in Portal?
Oh, GLaDOS. Very similar.
It should have been that.
It should have been exactly that. So anyway, Ash decides, okay, plan B in terms of trying to train this thing. Takes off the gloves. Takes the line off the Pikachu and just tries to trust it for once. So, on his travels, Ash finds a Pidgey.
Yep.
And the Pokédex gives us a rundown on what this mysterious bird is.
Turns out,
it's in fact a Pokémon. So, Ash tells Pikachu to go get it. But Pikachu decides not to do that and climbs up a tree instead and goes for a big old-fashioned yawn.
Yep. And not enough badges to train him.
So it means, like, that must make Pikachu, like, level 30 or something, then, at least. Like, Jesus, that's overpowered for a new trainer, like.
You already know it's overpowered.
That actually might make sense. So anyway, to end the first half of the episode, Ash threatens to catch the Pidgey himself. What could possibly go wrong? So anyway, Case, that won't be the time for the ad break, but we're not covering ad breaks on here because, you know, there's only so much mid-90s guff that we can sell.
Mm-hmm.
But during the ad breaks, we, of course, get the old-fashioned Who's That Pokemon?
Who's That Pokemon?
Which we are going to do ourselves.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Who's That Pokemon?
The way this works is, each one of us every week is going to pick a Pokemon for the other two to guess on.
Right.
So we start off with the Dex entry, and if one of us gets it right, you get a full point, which in this case would be 5.
Yep.
And if neither of us get it right, move on then to another clue, and then another clue, until you basically run out of points.
Yeah.
And then nobody gets it, then you've remained elusive, and we'll keep track of the points as this show goes on.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely.
So I'm going to start off then, just to kind of prove the point, see how it works. So, this is for yourself, James, and Bert Bott.
Yeah.
The dex entry for this Pokemon is, it is capable of living in or out of the water. When out of the water, it sweats to keep its body slimy.
Okay.
I feel like James has so much more of an advantage because he knows every iota of detail about Pokemon. Can I just caveat this?
That's fair, yeah. You are the...
I'm very... Like, I feel like...
Underdog would be the...
This seems to be a running theme with me on podcasts. But,
you are here to make up the numbers. Just remember
that.
Yeah,
token woman, yeah. You could say.
Yes.
I'll let you go first, though.
Slimy Pokemon.
Now, granted, this is only for the first 151.
Okay, so it's in my area of expertise.
Heavily air quoted. If you like, yeah.
Slimy Pokemon in and out of the water. Do you have an idea?
I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but...
it seems like something I have seen before. I've
it's
seen
the original is 150, so you have seen it.
Yeah. You have seen it, yeah.
But I remember, like, it's, but I just cannot think.
Like, her point of reference pretty much is the Poképrap.
Yeah.
So rattle through the Poképrap and see what comes up first. What might be the best thing to do in this situation.
Like Rattata. I'm gonna say...
I'm seeing a shape here. She's
I can't think of Poliwhirl.
Poliwhirl, okay.
Poliwrath. No, Poli. The little one.
Poliwag.
Yeah.
Poliwag, okay.
Yeah.
That is pretty much what I was looking at, and I've got to go with the same family, so I'm going to say it's Poliwhirl.
And I'm afraid one of you is right. The correct answer is Poliwhirl. Yes, you double guessed yourself.
Yeah.
Fox.
Yeah, how about that? So,
there we go.
Unfortunately, full marks goes to James.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I feel like I gave him that answer.
She is raging with that. You can see it in her face, like, just. She's just transfixed on the TV. She's not even looking at either of us. Just quietly hiding her rage.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the episode then, shall we? Before it is a row.
Pokemon.
I am out of swinging.
Yeah, exactly. Keep yourself out of like jabbing range. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
For maybe the next 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the second half of the episode starts off with Ash taking out a Pokeball, repeating his pledge to catch them all and be a Pokemon master. He throws the ball to Pidgey, the ball, it connects. So he's got a good throw on him, in fairness. He's been practicing with all those broken alarm clocks. Ball rolls around.
Pidgey inside them as well.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. So he's actually
it foreshadowed it because he doesn't catch the Pidgey. It does the two rocks and then it
breaks out. Breaks out, yeah.
Just like his alarm clock, which is a Pokeball with a Pidgey inside it.
I think you're right, what you're saying.
Putting a lot more thought into this than the
amateurs. Yeah. Just went, oh, that's a nice alarm clock.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's shocked about this. Like, surely, like, Pokemon are not supposed to cat to break out of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it does.
He shouted, enjoy your last few seconds of freedom. Like all protagonists.
Yeah, exactly. So the Pidgey breaks out, runs away, and Pikachu can only laugh.
Oh, yes.
Cynical. It's such a cynical little mouse, you know. It must have this all the time. Maybe there's like a newbie each day.
Yeah.
That it just like, yeah, he just tries to bring to his paces.
He just kills them. Yeah. And then moves on to the next.
Goes back into the ball and Oak goes, ah, another one. Oh dear. Anyway.
Another one that Oak wants me to dispose of.
Oh no.
So Pokedex explains then how battles work. So Ash tries to ask.
Like usually.
Here, you should know this already.
You should know that you have to have a Pokemon
if
to catch a Pokemon.
Out, yeah, and if he's out. Like, this is his adventure, this is his life now. He should already know the very fucking basic.
You'd like to think so, but here we are, like, you know, unfortunately. So, Pikachu's obviously not going to contribute to the battle, so Ash decides to sneak up onto the Pidgey and try and smother him with his pyjamas.
Yes.
Which is, as you would try and catch a bird.
Look, if you're a 10-year-old.
I mean, yeah, at least it's a decent tactic. Yeah. It's not the right one in the end. Because Pidgey decides to use Gust and blows him
away.
We're
looking at this as middle-aged people now.
Yes. I would totally have an animal do this on my behalf.
Yeah.
That is the correct answer, like. So, the Pokédex keeps explaining again. Pikachu uses a Sand Attack, blinds Ash completely. Pikachu is in stitches at this stage. So at this point, the Pidgey's gone.
Yep.
And Ash goes back defeated to see that there's something rummaging in his bag, which is a Rattata. Which a Pokedex explains, yeah, no, this Rattata does this all the time to stupid travellers. Which is an interesting double meaning in this country, but here we are. Again,
I mean, that is his job now. He is now a tinker.
Yeah. Bye.
He voluntarily went into the lifestyle.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah. He was a...
Will work for food.
Yeah, the traveller lifestyle found him, I think it's fair to say. Ash is getting annoyed at this stage, right? So he decides to throw a rock at a flock of Pidgeys, and everything scatters, except for one. So he throws another rock at this silhouette of a bird,
yep.
But it's not a Pidgey, it's dun, dun, dun. A Spearow.
Who are angry bastards.
As quite literally says in the Pokedex, they are aggressive and will attack humans, which is not something Pokemon do.
Mm-hmm.
In the cartoon, or in the game at least, there's a nice separation between, but in this case, Spearow is the one that breaks it. So, Ash scarpers, because Spearow is going to attack.
Yeah.
But curiously enough, Spearow's still kind of like, you know, conditioned in the sportsmanlike behaviour of Pokemon battling, aims for the Pikachu on the branch.
Yeah, the Pokedex then jumps up saying, oh, it can be jealous of trained Pokemon. It's like, well, clearly, can you not see that this is not a trained Pokemon?
Mm.
He's just being a dick here.
Yeah, this is all based off a misunderstanding. That's No, wait, I'm up here, like, having the crack, like, I'm not
enjoying you beating him up.
Yeah.
Please continue
Pikachu
that.
Clearly used Rock Throw.
Yeah. Well, it worked very well for Ash in that sense. But in any case, Pikachu falls off the branch, which obviously he doesn't like either.
Yeah.
Shocks the bird, and Spearow faints. Calls for help.
Point Ash should have thrown the Pokeball.
Yes, exactly. This is his first mistake, and he could have got a Spearow, which would have been pretty decent.
His first
mistake
was leaving the house.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah. In any case, a flock of Spearow then appears from a nearby tree. Ash and Pikachu runs away.
Yeah.
And then we see a few other new Pokemon, which we won't kind of like consider that Ash has seen them. We've seen them, but he hasn't.
Mm.
So we see Sandshrew ducking away, going, oh, it's going to be good. And we see Mankey watching from branches, going, oh, it's going to be good. And so Ash is trying to reassure Pikachu. Pikachu runs away from him. Which
the thing
is
Pikachu can massively outspeed him.
Yeah, that's fair, actually, yeah. That's more accurate.
Pikachu doesn't need to run faster than the Sphero, he just needs to run faster than Ash.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, you can take him. I got too much to live for. I got my own cartoon to star in.
Oh, no.
So anyway,
I'm going to become a detective. Bye.
I'm about to be voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
Or
my life's dream.
Danny DeVito.
That works too, in fairness. In any case, the Pikachu runs ahead. The Spearows peck Ash and Pikachu, not quite to death, but Pikachu takes a tumble. It's quite injured. Ash picks him up, which is quite nice. And then they are out of the clearing. They stop because, oh, there just happens to be a waterfall here.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, an inconvenience at best, I think it's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
So Ash, being the 10-year-old child he is, thinks that, okay, there's no other options here. I'm just going to have to dive into the waterfall. Which is a fairly natural conclusion, you know, to being chased by a flock of birds. Not to hide or, you know, hide in the shrubbery or anything. No, it's to just put yourself in the mortal peril.
Kill yourself.
Yeah.
Kill yourself, yeah, essentially, yeah. All he was missing was, like, to check the bag to make sure there wasn't any rocks in it.
To be fair, do we know the Tippi Hedren in The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock? Would she have done anything different?
This is very true. This is very true. You can see where the animators were thinking.
Yeah.
You know. So, he jumps into the waterfall to avoid the Spearow and sees the Magikarp, which is quite nice.
Yep.
Then sees a Gyarados and swims the fuck away.
Absolutely.
Which
you would as well.
We would all as well.
Oh, I don't think I would. I love Gyarados.
Gyarados class, but... And you, to be fair, you do have a Pikachu there. You're kind of set, in fairness.
You're in the water with the Pikachu.
Don't worry about it, it's fine.
We have rubber gloves, so it's okay.
Yeah. Rubber gloves make all the difference, man.
Yes.
So anyway, we get a smash cut then to a nice quiet vista of a redhead girl fishing, waiting for a bite. Nice and quiet, everything peaceful. Then the rod grips, tries to pull in the big one, and we just get Ash and Pikachu on the line.
Absolutely.
The one thing I want to ask, though, is who ate the bait? That's what I want to know here. Was it the Pikachu or was it the... Was it a human?
Think of Misty's upper body strength there.
Right? Like, she's...
She's 10-ish as well?
I think she's a bit older. I think she's, like, 12 or 13.
Even still, she, like, threw him over her head.
Yeah, that was impressive. But it's all in the throw, man. Like, she's clearly done judo. Like, it's just... So you just toss your hips, man, and anyone goes under.
No, I think it's a bit of synchronized swimming there because you need, you know... good upper body strength to lift people out of the water. So,
That's very true as well. Yeah. So, Missy just immediately goes to the Pikachu instead of the stupid human that she's after pulling in.
I mean, she's not wrong.
He has eaten the food.
Yeah, exactly. One can only assume. So anyway, Misty urges him to get to a Pokemon Center. We don't know that she's Misty at this stage, by the way, but it's fairly evident.
Yep.
So we can see the flock of Spearow.
Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen the episode.
Yeah, you really should have gone on to this at this stage, but here we are. So the flock of Spearow is coming back. We can see it in the distance.
Flock of Spearow is a good name for a band.
Would it be a flock of Spearows? I mean, they're more angry like that. It'd be a peck of Spearows,
and
I think.
I ran so far away.
More so stealing a girl's bike and cycling away, which is what Ash did.
He borrowed it.
He saved borrow.
Yeah, but we do know from, you know, hindsight that he just never repays her.
No, he never does. Because he's quite a div. So, as we mentioned, he steals the bike, promises to give it back someday, but it doesn't last long because Pikachu's tied in the basket. We have thunderstorms just miraculously appearing.
Thunder!
Which is great.
Thunder!
I was actually kind of worried none of you were going to do that. You just leave me completely hanging there. So it's lashing rain, the Spearow's gained on them, and there's a big jump in the road, and Ash completely totals the bike.
Absolutely.
Just buckles the thing completely. There's no salvaging it. So Pikachu's falling in front of them. It's a real traumatic, emotional scene where this cynical mouse is at death's door.
In fairness, this is a story of how a 10-year-old tortured and tried to kill a mouse.
He didn't mean to. It's just that he's stupid. It's different, James. Come on. In any case...
I actually used to babysit a kid who accidentally killed 3 hamsters.
Fun.
How accidentally are we talking here?
He let them run around and then he didn't know where they went and he sat down on the chair and they were inside the cushion.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so the Pikachu's at death's door. Ash is crawling towards him as the Spearow's closing in. Ash is pleading for Pikachu to get in the ball. Pikachu is not doing this. So Ash just covers up Pikachu from the Spearow flock. And Pikachu sees this and goes, oh, he may be stupid, but he means well. So he jumps out from underneath Ash, jumps up, leaps up, and massive, like, thunder discharge, I think is the only way to describe it.
I see it differently. I think he didn't give a shit about Ash. He saw there was going to be a bolt of lightning and thought, I can supercharge myself. And he just used Ash as a jumping off point.
That's true, because, like I said, there's one of the most iconic scenes, I suppose, from the whole series is this freeze frame of Ash, like, with the arms out, waiting for the Spearow to attack him, which is like, oh, maybe this protagonist will die early. No, it will not. Then, like, goes, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Like, maybe Pikachu wasn't aiming for the Spearow at all. He just was hungry. Like, he was just like, sweet, delicious nectar from the sky.
Electrons.
Yes. So, just as a massive coincidence, this massive lightning strike wipes out the Spearow completely. We don't see them. We don't know what happens to them. Yep. Because even in the next scene, it's just Ash and Pikachu. So, we can only assume the Spearow were Thanos'd away.
Yep.
Like, completely. They're just dust now. They are now the road.
Saw after the discharge, everyone got thrown in different directions.
Yeah. like I said, but now we don't know. They don't. Not even technically Spearow anymore. They're just like bone or gristle at some stage. So the shot actually starts with the bike, with Missy's bike.
Burnt
completely
fried. Name for a band.
That would work too, actually. Yeah,
burnt feathers.
Write in if you're looking for indie band names, because you know, we can take
Jelly Filled Donut.
Yeah. Mr. Mime and Delia. So we have the bike completely fried, Ash and Pikachu flat on the ground going, oh, that was so cool, wasn't it?
Mm.
So they look back up at the sky and they see a golden bird flying overhead and it's pooping out a tiny little rainbow, which is quite nice. So Ash is immediately going, can I catch that? Pokemon's going, no, that's in Generation 2. It's called
DLC mesh.
DLC mesh. Yeah, exactly. So, no, you cannot catch this until you buy the season pass. So that's it then. The Pokédex can't identify it, so the narrator takes over as Ash carries Pikachu onto the path to the next city, which we would assume to be Viridian City.
Yep.
And then that's it. The Pokérap.
On the road to Viridian City.
So the Pokérap plays itself then.
But I'm gonna sing it anyway.
It's not too far away, in fairness. Yeah. You've got the lyrics wrong, but the melody is there.
I think that should be like my actual name, Burke. Gets the lyrics wrong, but
it's a bit unwieldy, in fairness. Like, BirdBot's unwieldy as it is, but in any case. So, that's the episode, in fairness.
Yeah.
Wasn't much to it, really.
As an episode, unless you know the series, it's not going to hook you in. Unless you're already aware of Pokemon being a thing and you're already in that fan zone.
Yes.
Then, if you're watching this for the first time going, I wonder what all the fuss is about, you just look at it and be like, no, next.
Absolutely.
Let's watch some card captors.
So, when is it time to do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do? Anyway.
Or even Digimon would have, like... the pilot for Digimon is a lot better than the pilot for Pokemon.
I'd agree with that, actually. I'd agree with that. Digimon catches your attention.
Yeah. We might have nostalgic goggles on for Digimon, I think.
Yeah.
We have a case of roasting the glasses here for this, in fairness. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, because we don't have... This is the pilot, and it's kind of introducing a lot of things. We would normally have segments here for if there's ever been a battle in the in the episode, and we kind of, like... The battle we try and reenact in the game and see if it's actually play out. The kind of example I'd say here would be when Ash is facing Brock in a couple of episodes' time and just completely breaks the rules.
Yeah.
We also will have segments on what Team Rocket should have done in this scenario, which will actually just prove that we're actually better criminals than they are. It's concerning, at least.
Look, if they can't outsmart Ash, I think you should just kill yourself.
This is true, in fairness. You've got a very valid point there. But one segment we are going to be doing at the end of these episodes is a Pokédex. We're going to keep track of what Ash's Pokédex is actually.
Can we be sassy like GLaDOS?
You can be sassy if you want to. The first one to talk about is, naturally, Pikachu. Because it was his first one that he had caught and seen. Did you know, by the way, fun fact, Pikachu was meant to have a second evolution.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. So... And now, the way the chain has gone now, it is, like, Pichu now has a baby evolution called Pichu.
Yeah.
And it has an evolved form via called Raichu, thanks to a Thunderstone. But originally, it was meant to be Pikachu, Raichu, and it's something called Gorochu.
Yep.
Because it would have, like, it's basically kind of, like, had more horns and, like, looked more like a bit of a... It kind of had, like, a punk rock motif to it. Like, it had, like, a kind of, like, weird woolly collar to it. Like.
Okay.
Kind of cool, but I can kind of see, like, it was a bit redundant in the end.
Oh, yeah. You know? I think they've massively regretted making Raichu since it originally came out as well. They seem to just want to give Pikachu all the extra stuff in the games.
Yes.
You know, your Z-moves, your Mega Evolutions, your... And no one gives a crap about it, actually.
This is the thing, though. Like, Pikachu is, like, perhaps one of the most iconic mascots when it comes to, like... Just not even outside of Pokemon, just outside of, like, culture generally.
Yeah.
Like, it's in everything, like...
Yeah.
Everyone knows a Pikachu. You could show, like, my 80-year-old granny, and she'd know what it was.
But she'd also call Charmander Pikachu.
Have a look at those Pikachu cards there.
She got every Pokemon Pikachu, in fairness.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks the series is called.
Yeah.
Which is actually probably accurate, in fairness. But a lot of stuff to talk about Pikachu on this one. Did you know, by the way, there's one of the small, I think it's the Cook Islands. I think they're the islands called Niue. They have a dollar coin and Pikachu on the back of it. Genuinely called it was actually just a promotional thing.
That's gas.
Yeah. Fun fact as well, Pikachu made its way into science.
Yes.
There is a neurotransmitter called Pikachurin, and it's the little transmitter that basically supplies electrical currents back and forth to the eye.
Ah.
And because it moves so fast, they call it Pikachurin.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
That's kind of nice,
too. I like that fact.
Yeah. So we mentioned about Gorochu. You might be shocked to hear it's based off a mouse, but it's also taken... The cheek pouches are based off squirrels as well, but it is pretty much an electric mouse. There's nothing else to it. It's just iconic. Like, it's been on fucking Thanksgiving parades. It's been everywhere. It's in, like, pretty much every Nintendo game outside Mario.
It appears everywhere. I feel like the only way you can make Pikachu more iconic of the 90s is by putting it on a pog.
I had Pokemon Pogs.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I had them.
That was a thing for a while.
Yeah. They were a thing. So, another Pokemon that we have officially seen was Pidgey.
Yes.
And as you may be shocked to hear, it's based off a pigeon.
Yeah.
It's just a generic bird.
Yeah.
I don't actually think... Like, obviously you have some stuff like Piedove afterwards, which is more kind of pigeon-y looking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pidgey's more like a sparrow.
It is more sparrowy, yeah, in fairness. And kind of Spearow is as well. So they kind of had that weird, like... They're in the same family, but you can tell, like, they're two very different paths. Like,
yeah.
This is the rich ones. They became Pidgey. Here's the working class angry ones. They became Spearows. Fun fact, by the way. Did you know that Pidgey has the shortest cry of any Pokemon in the games?
Did not.
Yeah.
Now that you say it, it makes sense.
Yep. It is just chirp.
Yeah.
Yep, 0.2 seconds long. Okay. Less than that, yeah. Next one on my list then is Rattata.
It barely got a mention.
Yeah, we'll probably see it again in future episodes, but yeah. We did officially see it. There's really not much to say about this one.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off the legendary Route 1 Pokemon that's in every Pokemon game, and they're all useless. They're all normal type, and they shouldn't be. They should be the first Pokemon you catch, and then you never see
them again.
Then
after.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
They're very quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can say.
It was, do you know what? Raticate was the evil one though in the game, because I remember in Mount Moon.
Oh, so evil about Raticate.
Because there was a Raticate in the Mount Moon, I think it was, and I was like certain levels above, and a new Hyper Fang, which was a really serious move,
yeah,
and just cuts you guys to shreds, like, especially if you're, I think it was on Pokemon Yellow, they took it out because it was too mean to the Pikachu.
Yeah.
And then we have Spearow, which we mentioned already. It's based off a sparrow. Again, not much else to say, really. You can kind of tell the pun, really, in that one.
Yeah.
Spearow, and that's it. But the interesting one, the Golden Bird at the end, which is not a Generation 1 Pokemon.
Nope, so it doesn't exist.
It was hallucination
after being electrocuted so many times by a fucking mouse.
Well, it turns out it is actually a real Pokemon, would you believe?
No, it's not.
We'll learn about it in the Johto region. It is Ho-Oh. It is the it quite literally means Phoenix Bird, because that's the Japanese name for it, Ho-Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's pretty class. I actually quite like the design of it, because it is Rainbow Bird. Also has one of the coolest moves ever, which is Sacred Fire.
Yeah,
because it's blue. That means it's super hot, like, you know. Mm. There's no other way to say it. So yes, that means our current score then on the Pokedex is 5 seen and 1 caught.
Okay.
And the next episode thankfully fills it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Because
in fairness, this is day one.
This is day one, yeah, exactly.
And he is an idiot.
He is a complete buffoon as well. Yeah. So yes, that's our pilot episode done, lads.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We will be back with more episodes, hopefully, if this goes well. We probably will do this anyway, but it's more of a proof of concept. We can talk about Pokemon and not feel ashamed of ourselves that we're not doing anything else with our... like.
Because that is why I'm being totally forthcoming with my name.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm putting my face on this podcast.
We're all putting our name on this. We're all living and breathing on this podcast. So, yes, we will see you then for episode 2, where Ash presumably gets to Viridian Forest and catches some stuff. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see you then on the Jellyfield Donna podcast.
Woo!
We'll have to think of a sign off based off donuts or something like that.
I will fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post, yeah.